Well, hey, this is your old friend Bill. Whenever I find myself in Davis, I'm busy putting the fun in fundraising. But when I'm not, I always listen to KDVS 90.3 FM. And you should too. Go Aggies!
This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
It's 5 o'clock, it's Thursday. You again have shown the good judgment to tune in to 90.3 FM, KDVS, for Radio Parallax. KDVS is, of course, part of the University of California at Davis, an institution supported by your tax dollars. So if you think about it, you're hearing our voice today broadcast on 90.3 is kind of like reaching down in your pocket and finding a crumpled $5 bill you'd forgotten about. This is, in fact, your tax dollars coming back to you. And that's got to be a good thing. Joining us on today's very special program is William Turner. Bill Turner spent 10 years in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, grew disillusioned, and on his way out of the agency decided to take on its legendary director, J. Edgar Hoover. I can assure you that Bill Turner will be a very interesting second and third segments on today's program, so please stay tuned for that. We really have a full show ahead of us today, so we need to jump right into it. By any accounts, the biggest story emanating out of KDVS this week has to be the visit of President William Jefferson Clinton to the UCD campus. I was not able to attend the event, unfortunately, but the event was covered for us by our student correspondent. Joining us now on the phone is Stephen Valentino.
Good evening, Doug.
So, Steve, I understand you were at Freeborn Hall.
Yes, I tried to get tickets through the Mondavi Center, but They had a live video feed to the Freeborn Hall, and so I managed to get in there. And they broadcast the speech as it normally would, but it actually ended up working out better for me in the end because Clinton actually made an appearance after he spoke at Mondavi at Freeborn.
So he spoke at Mondavi Center to 1,800 students, faculty, and community members who, I guess, paid $50 a pop.
Very few students. Actually, it was only 150 students who managed to get into the Mondavi Center.
So I gather that's how they came up with the $100,000 to pay President Clinton.
Yes, you are correct.
But someone, I guess, suggested to him that perhaps the students were watching him on closed-circuit TV. He might want to go pay them a visit. Is that what?
I think it was. There was a lot of pressure from students at the university. There was a lot of outside of the Mondavi Center when he was speaking. There were some protests, and so I think the university kind of nudged him in that direction because I think they wanted to appease the students. And the tickets to Freeborn were absolutely free.
Well, that's great. And the picture of the bee shows a very happy, elated Clinton pressing the flesh, working the crowd. It looks like he got quite a good reception.
Well, no, I mean, it's amazing to see how young people react to him. I mean, it's just, he's a rock star in a lot of ways. I mean, it's kind of, he's a little bit JFK and I guess a little bit Elvis. And it's just interesting to see how he works the crowd. And he came to Freeborn and, you know, as we're sitting there and stuff, he just gave kind of a five-minute off-the-cuff speech, and people were just taken in by him. It was really amazing. And then he came out, and people just flocked to him.
Uh-huh.
And I had the benefit of getting to shake his hand.
Well,
which, you know, I shook James Brown's hand, and I would say that the experience was relatively similar.
Well, now you'll have to explain to the listening audience how the similarities between James Brown and President Clinton.
There's a certain charisma to it, and they're both performers.
Uh-huh.
And they're both, you know, they're very good at just, you know, entertaining you in a lot of ways. And that's what a lot of Clinton's speech was. It was more, I saw it as more of a performance. Regardless of what he was saying, he was able to put on such a face that it went down very well. People were taken in and were very receptive to it.
So his charisma certainly was carrying the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now there was some protest. I guess you mentioned a protest. There's a picture here in the B showing some guys holding up signs. I guess an appearance by a major politician to UCD wouldn't be complete without a protester or two. What were they objecting to?
As I said earlier, it was the Mondavi Center that really got them. There was no one, there was no young Republicans group out there, I think, you know, protesting Monica Lewinsky or last-minute pardons or anything of that nature. It was really more directed at the university, and a lot of students, again, like I said, drew a major contention with the majority of tickets going to people from Sacramento and the Davis area as opposed to students.
Fair enough. Well, Steve, thanks very much for joining us. So Clinton wasn't like passing out cigars or anything, was he?
No, I don't think anyone would have taken him.
All right. Well, thanks for filling us in.
I always appreciate it.
Well, what a great thing for the students at UCD to get a chance to meet and shake the hand of President Clinton. It seems like only yesterday to me, when I was a student here, that I had a chance to sit in the front row while Ronald Reagan gave his only speech to a UC audience while governor. And afterwards, I debated whether I wanted to shake his hand, and I thought, yeah, of course you do. So I stuck my hand out, shook Reagan's hand, and I got to tell you, when you meet somebody in person, there is a certain connection that you have to them that you don't get through a TV tube, which is why politicians, of course, go out on the campaign stump. Let's talk a little national and international news. Mr. McMillan, if you would, please be good enough to cue up the administration's current theme song.
This means war! Fredonia's gone to war! Each native son will grab a gun and run away to war!
At last, Fredonia's
gone to war! At last, the country's gone to war!
This is the country's gone to war!
At last, the country's gone to war!
We're going to war!
This is a fact we can't ignore!
We're going to war! This is a fact we can't ignore!
Yes, there's much talk of war, but the surfacing of a recorded audio tape by Osama bin Laden has raised some interesting questions in the country. We seem to be preparing for war against Iraq, and yet Osama, yes, the guy that attacked us on September 11th, appears to be alive. We were feeling like a bit of a lonely voice in continuing to harp upon this subject, but the Sacramento Bee reports for the Los Angeles Times Bureau story this weekend, Condoleezza Rice was bristling and defending the Bush administration, noting that Bush, quote, does not begin his day on Iraq, unquote, according to Rice. Well, regardless of what your feelings are about the appropriateness of war with Iraq, it's worth asking the question, is the United States winning the war on terrorism? Analysts at like the Cato Institute are raising questions like this. Senator Tom Daschle is asking the question. It's certainly a question that needs to be asked, and I'm glad that people are asking it. The cover of Time, as we speak, has Osama bin Laden on it with the phrase, "Why can't we catch him?" under his picture. It's a very good question. There's been this idea floated that Osama's probably dead. That's been talked about for some months. But I'm curious as to why anybody thought that he was. Coming on the show now to help clear up some of these issues is White House spokesman Yuri Fleischman.
Good evening, Doug.
We're glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
I'd like to ask you, how is it the administration was taken by surprise on these recent Osama bin Laden tapes?
Well, we were not surprised.
Well, you've been saying he's probably dead, so a recording must be something of a surprise.
We never said he was dead, only he may be dead.
So, he may or may not be dead was the administration's position.
Correct. That is correct. We left either possibility operational. We like to cover all our bases, don't like to leave anything open.
So the possibilities were dead and not dead.
Yes, but we are now 99%+ sure he is alive.
Okay, well, the administration took some lumps for focusing in on Iraq while bin Laden is threatening us. The Sacramento Bee mentioned Condoleezza Rice's defense of the administration, and the current cover of Time asks why we can't find Osama.
Well, look, Doug, Time asked a lot of questions, okay? But we are still full of fear at the specter of the Baghdad regime getting new and devastatingly deadly weapons of mass destruction. That is our foremost concern now.
Well, just what sort of new and deadly weapons are you concerned about?
We like to pose the question, suppose Saddam gets a Death Star.
A Death Star like in Star Wars?
Yes, well, perhaps more aptly, the Return of the Jedi, where a preemptive strike saved the day. An orbiting planet-busting sphere is a very grim scenario, Doug. I'm sure you would agree, and It's one definitely worth stopping cold.
I suppose. Does your Star Wars budget include funding for an X-Wing fighter or a navigational droid?
Well, at the present time, no. But I admire your thinking outside the box. Very commendable.
Well, regarding Osama bin Laden, Mr. Fleischman, do you know it's been over 400 days since the search for him began at 9/11?
Douglas, you must realize that we've just now cleared up the fact that he did survive the Afghan war.
Well, he disappeared into the mountains of the Pakistani border. Why did you assume he was dead?
Because ambiguous signs were found in the recordings made by Al-Qaeda.
Such as?
Well, in one recording that we've titled Afghani Road, the cover shows bin Laden wearing the only black turban in the group. And in the companion video, he's the only Mujahideen walking across the cave rug barefoot. And also, if you notice, he is firing the AK-47 left-handed. Left-handed, Doug, even though he's a natural right-hander.
Okay.
And the CIA, you know what those boys found? If you take Osama saying, strike the infidel, and play it backwards, it sounds exactly like, turn me on mullah in Arabic.
Huh.
Also, sound engineers, crack sound engineers, I may add, they heard what took to be the crash of a cruise missile in the background.
But that wasn't the case?
No, it turned out to be a rock slide. But then there was the background vocal by an operative taken to say, he's in paradise, oh holy fighter. Well, turned out to be, how much for the donkey saddle, oh fat one?
Well, we'll have to take your word for it on that.
So the bottom line is we really just needed a better translator.
So these so-called clues regarding the death of bin Laden, they just didn't hold up to closer scrutiny.
Well, we don't like to play Monday morning quarterback here.
Well, we're just glad the administration is back focusing in on bin Laden and Al-Qaeda.
No comment.
And thank you for coming to the show once again. We hope that you'll return to us.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny that I'd be delighted to do so. But I am optimistic that we can collaborate in the future.
You know, we have an incoming call. It's a very special call. I'd like you to hold for that just a second. Please hold for Paul McCartney.
The Beatle, Paul McCartney? You bloody well right, it's me.
Well, welcome back to the show, Sir Paul.
You know, I was listening in on the web when this stuff had a familiar ring, Doug. This Is He Dead rubbish. I can't believe history's repeating itself.
Comments, Mr. Fleischman?
Well, how can we be sure this is the real Paul McCartney?
Don't tell me I've got to prove I'm alive. I've been alive for 3 decades now, mate. Tell your White House man to stop being so daft. It makes me so bloody steamed I'll have to call back some other time.
With all due respect to the caller, 70s hits like Admiral Halsey, Silly Love Songs, Listen to What the Man Said, those hardly constitute proof that he was in fact a living person.
Well, your point is certainly well taken on that one. Thanks again for coming. You've been listening to White House spokesman Yuri Fleischman here to clear the air over who we're fighting in the war against terrorism. And we hope that Sir Paul McCartney will join us again soon. All right, we've got to get out a bit early on this segment because we have a lot of ground to cover in our second and third segments with our interview with ex-FBI agent and investigative journalist William Turner. Let's take a short break. I'm Douglas Everett, and you're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM.